A very good evening and welcome once again to Terrace Talk. Tim Moynihan sitting in for Ivan Hurley this evening. Hopefully we'll keep you entertained over the next 2 hours. And what a busy weekend it has been. The Warriors in basketball, they went down, maybe did not perform to the potential that we know they had, but well, there will be another day, and fair play to them to get to a final. And as we say in sport, it's all about the next play. What a weekend it has been for Kerry club football. Once again, Dingle joining Ballymacallagate and Gaeltacht in winning the All-Ireland Club. And what a game that was in Croke Park yesterday, going to extra time. The Kerry ladies are out next weekend, the start of their football league away to Dublin. So everybody, I suppose, with the last, every one of those players and every one of those teams preparing for the months ahead. And it's all about building up for championship as well. So later on the programme, we hope to catch up with Dingle as they head west. And I'm sure they'll do what they did with the Bishop Moynihan Cup, come off at the Tralee side of Blenheville and walk over the bridge with the cup. They are now All-Ireland club champions. So we think they've left Adair in the last 10-15 minutes. So, and they're in Newcastle West, I've been told here, through Niamh Daly. Of course, she's a Blenheville woman. She's very proud, and she reckons there's bonfires in Blenheville awaiting the arrival of the Dingle team management. And I'm sure there's supporters behind that bus as well. So we wish him a safe journey, but that'll be a start. And I suppose that'll be a very proud moment, going over the Blenheville Bridge. When you say you go over the Blenheville Bridge even, you're... well, heading back west to back, and what I'm sure a welcome home they will get back in Dingle this evening. If you were at that game yesterday, if you watched that game yesterday in Croke Park, give us your thoughts, and do not hesitate in contacting us. You can phone us 066-7123-666, WhatsApp or text 083-300-3300. And I know Dahi O'Shea is listening. I'm sure he's on his way to Gort in the county of Galway, as always. And I'm sure he'll have something to say, being a West Kerry man, about the performance of Dingle yesterday. I'm joined once again by Liam Brosnan and John Kennedy. And later on, we'll be, I suppose, getting the Roscommon side of things. Paul Brennan, of course, the editor, sports editor of the Kerryman. He was in Croke Park yesterday. And just to get, I'm sure he knows more, I suppose, an insight into the Roscommon side of things than we do down here. So we hope to have Paul on later in the programme. But as I said, I have the old reliables here, John Kennedy and Liam Brosnan. A very good evening to you both, lads.
Evening, Tim.
It's fine to say, I suppose we've done the treble, John, as in club-wise. But yesterday was a very special day, even before there was a ball thrown in.
Yeah, Tim, it's a special year for Kerry football. You know, we spoke over it there off air, Liam and myself. You know, at senior level, Kerry have won the Munster Championship. They won the National League. They won the Senior All-Ireland. We've won junior, intermediate and senior now at club level. Our under-20s were in an All-Ireland semi-final. Our minors were unlucky to be beaten in a final. Incredible year. And but I think the club scene has really taken the imagination of the people, you know, and particularly that game yesterday. Ballymac and Gaeltacht had two great victories, but I think yesterday, the manner in which Dingle have got to the final, the neutral interest in the game yesterday, and I suppose, you know, the Mark O'Connor factor, Paul Gainey's injuries throughout the year, his leadership qualities, the unsung heroes of Dingle that really came up to the mark over the last number of games. But the manner of the victory, you know, I think, without hesitation, I think it was the greatest club final that we have seen.
Yeah, definitely so.
Quality-wise, football-wise, intensity, missed chances, blocks, block-downs, high fielding, and people taking responsibility. Absolutely superb. And, of course, mistakes were made, but for Dingle, you know, their composure when they were 2 points down at the end. You know, Tom Sullivan, how he manufactured and engineered two scores. Would he have gone for the two-pointer? Players with lesser experience might have, and force it. Mark O'Connor's block down. We'll go through it all over the hour, but what a block down by Mark. These are defining moments in the game. Mikey Gainey dispossessing, you know, and then I suppose the script was written. Mikey Gainey, one of the veterans of the team, a man that has served Kerry and Dingle so well over the years, with his left leg just inch perfect over the bar, and euphoria.
Euphoria. Liam, going into Croke Park yesterday, there was the bus was going in with the Dingle team and the supporters, even down, I know I wasn't down the city, you see, but loads of supporters, both St. Bridges and Dingle supporters coming up, waiting for the arrival of the team. And we've said it before, it's, I know we're going to go into the game in detail as the programme progresses, but the whole thing, we've seen it with Ballymacallaghan, we've seen it with Ungoyalthug, teams that have represented Kerry down through the years. It was at a huge level yesterday. People home from America, mm-hmm. Back from England, likewise Europe, just I suppose support every one of those Dingle players and management.
Yeah, Tim, it's a very special time for the three clubs this year, but especially for Dingle, getting like Dingle, that's the pinnacle for a club, an All Ireland senior final. So they would have came from all parts of the world, and I'm sure they were listening from all parts of the world and watching from all parts of the world yesterday. It was incredible to see. But like John said, it's the year that they're after having. You know, there's a saying there, how many times can you go to the well? And Jesus, that's a deep well Dingle have, because they can go to that well, and they have gone a lot of times this year. You know, so it's I suppose you can talk about it, but the more you think about it, it was just unbelievable watching it. No, because the football that was played, and I suppose we have to thank the new rules again, like, because it's really after enhancing our game of football. And I suppose when you look back at it, could we say that the way the rules were, has it robbed us of all these games with the last 10 or 15 years as well, with the way the football had gone? But look, it was a game that you couldn't keep your eyes off it, because it was edge and flow and up and down the field, fantastic scores. I think the score for me was that really stands out in my, between all the was Tom Sullivan's one off the side of the boot in the first half, that was an unbelievable kick as well. Yeah. But there were so many of them.
We'll go through that in detail. John, I suppose there's a link then, and you know, we have a county team as well. You know, and we're all Ireland champions, and we're more than likely looking for Tad that one, do a back to back. And Jack O'Connor, it's made the headlines over the last couple of days. The club, he reckoned that we've too many competitions, I suppose, in Kerry, that player borne out. And I suppose what I'm trying to say is what it means to clubs by, and we said about Ballymacallaghan, Ungoyalthug, and Dingle. Jack is manager of the county team. He has responsibility. He wants to win. He's now got Star with him, part of the management team. But what is your thoughts? You're a club man. You're outside Nasty. I know how close you are linked with the club. But what's your thoughts on that?
I think, Tim, you know, his point is valid about a lot of games, but the structures we have in Kerry has served us extremely well over the years. We've 13 All Ireland senior titles. We must be doing something right down here. Obviously, you have senior county championship, you have senior club, you have intermediate, you have junior premier, you have junior, you have novice. Then you have the divisional championships. But I've said this before, we are the envy of other counties. The teams that are successful with the county players they have are certainly going to get, we talk about Ungoyalthug with the Big Lakes, you talk about Dingle with the Gainies, the two Sullivans, Tom and Tom Leo. These guys are after a really tough campaign through Kerry, Munster and All-Ireland series. So there's no break for them. And with the split season, you know, it's fine to say we're in January, but it kicks off next Sunday. You know, 7 and 8 National League games, certainly you're into the Munster Championship. Your All-Ireland is in July. It's not that far away. Is it something that should be revisited again? The players will tell you the split season is great. But Jack O'Connor's, is it creating injuries? The intensity we're playing at now, the levels of fitness, Tim. You were there yesterday and a superb commentary with Ambrose. But the levels of fitness by both sides, it was a credit to their trainers and to their strength and conditioning that the bodies could do that at that level in Croke Park. And that's the level you have to get to know.
But, John, you know, I have to stick with this point, though, as well. And Jack has a very valid point, but I see David Clifford, he togged out the weekend against Cork. David hasn't a whole pile of football played since the All-Ireland final. So David Clifford definitely won't suffer player burnout.
No, that's what I'm saying, Tim. Like, the players that get to the...
But that's the point I'm making.
Yes, the players that get to the
end. But it's very limited. Like, there's not 10 Kerry teams going up playing in the All-Ireland final in Croke Park.
No.
That's my point.
No.
And if you want success, and, you know, like, the McGrath Cup, Liam, we were up in Clare, and we saw Kerry playing. We saw a lot of players involved that night, but you take then that, was it six or seven of those players played the weekend for Kerry? Now, obviously, they want to, the likes of David Clifford wants football, understand why he's there, but the players that played above in Clare, would you expect them to be in the McGrath Cup final?
Yeah, well, I suppose, look, the thing about it is the club manager wants his bit, the county manager wants, everyone wants to win their own competitions. And you can see where Jack is coming from in one way, and I can see where you're describing, you know, like, you talk to any of these Dingle boys and ask them about that moment yesterday when the final whistle went. They wouldn't swap anything in the world.
They won't get that with the county.
They won't get that with the county. Even the county players. And we've heard it through interviews down through the year that, you know, this was better than winning any All-Ireland medals for some of them. And I think yesterday was probably the pinnacle of their careers. If you ask Paul Gainey, I think yesterday was probably the pinnacle of his career so far. The man has won All-Ireland medals, they have All-Stars, but that was... And I think what the clubs have done this year as well, and it's very important for our clubs, is that we're creating a tradition and the next generation. Like, if we take that away, like, there's going to be youngsters behind in Dingle, like there were in Ballymac and the Gaeltacht, looking up, and they want to be the next Paul Gainey. So if we take all that away, we're going down a kind of a slippery road of being professional. And that's where it's coming to, Tim.
And that's why...
And that's we spoke about this for ages. Are we going down the road of, like, Munster rugby?
Yeah.
That the 30 players will be taken away from the clubs and that'll be it.
And he makes a very valid point there that, you know, there's pressure now to perform. There's pressure in Jack O'Connor. There's pressure in his management team to get the best, I suppose, 26 stroke 30 footballers in the county and to have them like a club. You have to mind those players like club players. But are those the players we're saying that are going to suffer burnout? Like, I suppose in the last 20 years have we more talent coming through than we have at the minute. Is that fair to say?
It is, yeah. But look, anyone that's successful will be pulled left, right and centre, no matter what sport they're in. So the Dingle boys, and we had this conversation when the Cliffords were in it with Fossa a few years ago as well. You know, so unfortunately, I suppose, and it's our own success that's bringing this, because we have great success. And I think we're doing okay. I think, you know, maybe the Dingle boys will miss out on a couple of National League matches, but they'll be raring to go again.
John, is it fair to say that it's become, look, and we're all behind our Kerry team, we're behind our Kerry management, is it fair to say that it is becoming Club Kerry?
Well, Tim, we said this quite some time ago here, that you're coming to the stage where, you know, the body, I think that the change in the season in Gaelic football,
there's
and
no break. No,
there's
chance.
No break. That intensity, we saw that throughout the campaign, our hugely successful campaign of seniors at the county level. The injuries, if you get a soft tissue injury in a Munster championship, you can almost say that you're gone for the remainder of the championship. That's 4 to 6 weeks. You're out. Whereas before, in May or June or July, for a Munster final, if you got injured, well, the All-Ireland wasn't in September, the third Sunday in September. You had time to get back. But you have to look at it in two, I'd say, out of both eyes. The club system, you're talking about local. Ballymac and Gaeltacht. You saw what it meant to them in the last week. Coming back to their own, they mentioned tragedies in their own area. It brought them together. They mentioned, you know, Darragh Kinnaird spoke very well about the lack of numbers, about players leaving for work, etc. The smaller club, the sparsely populated area. Then this week, Dingle, small club, we heard it in Radio Kerry this morning, amalgamated at underage level. Those guys, I think Mark O'Connor summed it up, a professional player. He was never going to miss this campaign. It was from one game to another. But he said something that struck me big time. He said, you have the inter-county lads inside in the dressing room. But he said, 'tis the club lads that will be carrying your coffin on that final journey. You think about that. that's local. That's your own people. And there's nothing to substitute that. Of course we're Kerry men, and we want to win another Sammy back-to-back. But the local team, that jersey, the older generation that go down to the local pitch to see you playing. We were back in Dingle during the summer when they played Mintal Castlemaine in the last game of the club championship to keep that. They had to win it. Mm-hmm. Paul Gainey came back from the injury that day. I think he kicked 8 or 10 points. Cathal Bambrys and all these guys. Those were the games, the same as with Jack with his panel. Those were the games that brought the Tadhg de Bruins, the Ned Ryans, the O'Connors. They had to stand up for themselves when some of the better known players were missing. It was like a walking wounded over at the terrace side in Dingle that day. They were missing so many. But they got them back and they strengthened their panel. We saw the same with Kerry throughout the campaign last year. Necessity meant Jack had to look elsewhere. He looked elsewhere and he was successful and he did a brilliant job with it.
Liam, you were, just to finish off on this point, but it's a valid point and we understand both sides of it, but do you think we've too many club competitions in Kerry? I know from chatting to you from time to time, you enjoyed playing in the O'Donoghue Cup with Corry, the serious Corry team that time. You wouldn't swap those games for anything. And I understand where John says we've development-wise and progress-wise, we've moved to another level, we've moved to an elite level. But I'm looking at all the divisional competitions around our county. Great men of the past have played in Wavrum. There's volunteers out there trying to keep those divisional competitions alive. And if you want to showcase those divisional competitions, you want your county players playing.
Yep.
And it's coming. But we're heading up, I suppose, a mountain where there's going to be challenges, barriers. The more pressure it comes on Kerry, there's always pressure on a Kerry manager to win All Irelands. But do you, as I direct the question to you, you've been a great club man, you probably still are involved with your club, no different to the man in front of me, John Kennedy, likewise the man that travels in the every other week to games. He's a strong Guinea Gwilla man, Ambrose, but he's a club man at heart. I speak to the private a lot, Tommy Dyle. Times have changed, and we're talking about what happened 30 years ago, 40 years ago now, but it is coming to a point where, you know, success, if you want an elite level, you have to have those players and you don't want them to be anywhere else.
Exactly, yeah. And I suppose, look, all this really, Tim, is coming from our split season, because everything is so compact now that, you know, players are put under serious pressure, but like the club is where it starts and where it finishes, and I think we all know that. We're and listening to interviews, even the Dingle boys, you know, especially like Mark O'Connor's interview was fantastic
yeah.
But like, you start in your club and you finish in your club, and I think when you're inside in the Kerry bubble in general, it's all about Kerry and it's all about wearing the green and gold jersey, and you'll do anything to wear the green and gold jersey. And I suppose you don't realise it until you come out of it that maybe I should have done this and maybe I should have done that. And I think, look, There's room for everything. Like, the systems we have are fantastic. I think there's plenty of football out there. Like you said, our divisional systems, away from our county systems. Like, we've been, most of them now this year, I was at the Meath Kerry final, I was at the East Kerry final. You know, we saw what Nottinghoshall did in North Kerry. You know, it just brings everyone alive. You know, and I do think that if we take our county players out of that we are going to have a hole there. I know we'll be resting, but like you said, and I agree with you, David Clifford has plenty of rest. There's 25, 30 them players who had plenty of rest now this year. You know, but you'll always have the four or five fillers, and that's down to our own success in Kerry. But you can't take that away.
We'll go another point now. The guys that lined out for Kerry in the All-Ireland final, that got to the club finals, how many are we talking about? Tom O'Sullivan.
He didn't play.
And Brian Begley. And Brian Begley. So, like, it's not a huge number.
And that's the point I was making.
It's not a huge number.
But on the same token, I dwell with it because the club, we'd have no Kerry football team without a club. It all starts, whatever you want to dress it up or dress it down, it starts at your club. I always say that the club provides the raw material. You go to academies, you go to schools, and you go post-primary competitions. I call them the nurseries, and then you present them at a level where they can play minor, under 20, with Kerry, go on to hopefully what is senior level. Our competitions have started. We always say that the county championship is always
your league competition.
It's your, elite competition, yeah. And also how many players, John, even back in your time, did that present to the likes of the late Mick O'Dwyer, other Kerry managers? Because we always look at the county championship and say, who's going to shine here? We often, over the last 5 or 6 years, we've said, is it the same players again? Who's putting up their hand to Jack O'Connor or whatever manager is there? So we need these competitions.
Yeah, and the club, Tim, and I've said this numerous times, the club is the basis of the GAA. There's a club in every district, there's a club in every crossroads, you could say, big and small. They find that level, that identity. They go through bad times and good times. You look at the teams that we've spoken about, Blennerville, so much heartbreak on the field of play, but their day and the sun came. On Gaeltacht, they were up at the top table, they came down, they're back up there again now. It takes time, but I think that the club scene is, it has served well. The divisional championships, you know, the county, first of all, the county championship is giving you an opportunity for the small player to come in a divisional system, whether it be Shannon Rangers, Field Rangers before, now North Kerry, South Kerry, East Kerry. You're getting the opportunity to show your wares inside in Tralee, Killarney on county semi-final and final day. Then you go back to your club, senior club, intermediate, junior premier, novice. That's the level. And you're representing your own people in that. You cannot take, I think the system we have, and I agree with Liam, it's the split season that has changed this. It's so condensed, and, you know, but it's the players that are successful, they're the players that are going to suffer.
And it's normally one club, once you come out of Kerry, it's the club that advances.
And I think they'll suffer that pain for one campaign.
Yeah, great. And if there's any of our listeners out there that make any comment or what they believe, and we're trying to be objective, we're trying to be balanced here, but it's well worth discussing, because there's pressure on the Kerry management team, there's pressure on club managers, and like I say, if you have any view on that, please do not hesitate in contacting us. We head towards our first break of the evening, and after that we should be getting a scene set out in Blennerville as the Blennerville club, and I'm sure there's other supporters from surrounding clubs around Tralee, awaiting the arrival of the Dingle team as they head back west.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Proudly sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, supporting Kerry sport and community as Kerry's first B Corp hotel.
You're very welcome back here to Terrace Talk. Tim Moynan sitting in the hot seat in place of Ivan Hurley this evening. And we have in studio both John Kennedy and Liam Brosnan. And I would hope now to be move out the Blennerville way, and in situ there is the great newsreader, the great newsroom, the great journalist, and that is David Nelligan. Good evening, David.
Good evening, Tim. Very jealous of you being in a very warm studio. It is Baltic here on the Blennerville Bridge, but it's good to see there are a couple of hundred people stood here on the bridge as we speak. Quite a crowd gathering, young and old, great mix, great excitement here. All damned out in the red and white, a lot of General Kerry jerseys here as well, showing support, not just Dingle locals, but people from all over the county coming to welcome the All-Ireland champions across the Blennerville Bridge here this evening.
David, have you spoken to anyone out there in general? What's the mood like? Is it, are they saying this is some great achievement by this Dingle side? You know, we saw what they did in the county championship, bridging that gap of over 70 years. And suddenly, some people said the writing was on that cup. That cup has gone back to Dingle. So what's the mood and the feeling like out there?
It's just ecstasy back here, Tim. All the Dingle locals are... It's their own words are is indescribable. So I it's hard for me to change what they were saying. You know, it obviously once in a lifetime opportunity, and they nailed it, absolutely nailed it. And crossing the Blennerville Bridge for the third time this year with a piece of silverware. So as you said, when it goes 77 years without doing it, lightning strikes thrice. Blennerville Bridge, of course, built in 1751, I'd say there's been a fair few hoolies on cross this bridge in the 275 years since, and Dingle accounting for most of them so far in 2025 and 2026. So great atmosphere, great fun here. And luckily, the worst of the rush hour traffic has seemed to have passed. It was quite hectic there for a while, but it seems to be a bit quieter now. And all the traffic that seems to be arriving is supporters. That, on that note, there is a bit... parking is a bit of an issue around the place. There is traffic control in the place, but it's at a premium. But as the numbers gather, there's great excitement. There was a bit of a cheer went up when a bus rounded the corner earlier, but it was the 275 local link, so it's good to see they're big fans of the local link in these parts.
And David, you'd know better than anyone. You come from a house where there's a lot of All-Ireland medals. Of course, your dad is the great Charlie Nelligan, that was between the posts and played with the man here in front of me. He also managed a man beside me, and that is Liam Brosnan. From Charlie down through the years, he would swap probably one of his All-Ireland medals if he won a county championship medal. So that the point I'm making, what it means to somebody to win the county championship, then go off and represent Munster and go off and win the All-Ireland, which your dad did with Desmond's in 85.
Oh, big time, Tim, and he says it often himself. It's the one he cherishes the most because it's the lads you grow up with. It's the lads who were, like Mark O'Connor said and Paul Genny said yesterday, the ones you're in school with, the ones who are under the coffin on the way and the way to the grave. But yeah, it's the one I think he cherishes the most. You know, they built way up the whole way along and some great days. Obviously, it was the 40th anniversary of Desmond's right. famous win. This year, so there was great celebrations this year. Looking back, hard to believe it was 40 years ago since they won it. But like that, like you said, the Dingle side becoming the sixth Kerry team to lift the All-Ireland Club Championship after East Kerry, of course, who won the first title in 1970. I think it was then that they changed it, that the divisional sides couldn't do it. They were followed by the Stacks then the Desmonds, then Crokes, Lone Rangers, and of course Dingle yesterday after extra time. So the sixth successful side, so it's great to see, and as I said, the excitement is building here.
And yourself, have you signed any autographs yourself yet? Because I know you're popular right around our county.
Yeah, there are a lot of fans of the Division 6 County League B
you're a dangerous man at the edge of the square. David, we'll get back to you later on, I'm sure, when the team arrive. Hopefully you'll be able to speak to a member of management, maybe get a player for us as well. But great stuff by you. I think we send the right man out the Blenheville way, and we'll chat to you soon.
Cheers, Tim. They're expected to be here within the next half an hour, hopefully. So we'll try and link back in with you then and hopefully try and get a few on the phone to you.
Fair play to you, David. We'll chat to you later. And now we'll stay on the phone line because we go from one legend to another. I've the great Paul Brennan. He's a Roscommon man, but he's our sports editor here with our paper, The Kerry Man. So good evening, Paul.
Hi Tim, thank you.
I thought you got a you got a nice introduction there. Do you ever get an introduction like that up in Roscommon?
Never, Tim. Never.
Paul, and you, even your time down here over the years, and you've seen a lot of club football. You've seen at times where Roscommon probably were at the wrong end of a result, maybe against Kerry. But yesterday, can I speak first of all about St. Bridget's? You know what, that final whistle, it was heartbreak because they played some serious football in that game against Dingle, and what a way to go out of it! It must be heartbreaking. Did you chat with lads off post match?
Tim, I didn't. Anthony Cunningham was the only one that came into the press area afterwards, but and needless to say he was gutted. But I didn't see any of the Bridges players around afterwards. But yeah, I mean, as I said to a few people yesterday and today, Tim, I mean, like, you know, it was an epic game, an absolute final for the ages, and like it was the perfect All-Ireland final to win, but it was the most awful All-Ireland final to lose, you know, because of the manner of it. And like 10 seconds to go, Bridges had a hand and four fingers in that cup, and then it was wrenched from them, you know. So I mean, it'll take weeks and months, and maybe never they will get over it, you know. And I suppose it's in results and games like that where you probably go back over every little move and mistake, and I could have done that and should have done that, you know. If you're beaten out the gate by 10 points, or even if you lose by 4 or 5 points, you know, those little things, I suppose, aren't magnified as much as they will be after yesterday's game. So, of course, and I suppose given that Bridget's lost the final as well 2 years ago, so most of those players suffered, you know, a fairly agonising defeat 2 years ago as well in an Ireland Club final. So, yeah, I mean, you really would have to, your heart would go out to them, you know, but that's not to take away. I mean, it's Dingle's day and it's been Dingle's year, and what an incredible run they've had. And you know, we kind of, you know, in the Kerry Man, and I'm sure on Radio Kerry and most of the media, kind of had this narrative going the last week or two that it was a sort of it seemed like destiny for Dingle, you know, which which is kind of a silly thing, really. But you know what? After a full time yesterday, I think, and Paul Gainey said it, it just the stars aligned for them, and it just really felt when you go all the way back to the county championship that it was Dingle's and the American Cup to win.
Absolutely. And in any other day that with a performance put in by an individual, the right half back, Rory Fallon, he was absolutely outstanding. He's the man that, you know, made sure there would be extra time. He would have been man of the match if it was a Saint Bridget's
win. He would have been, Tim. And I suppose, you know, it's usually the way these things, the winning team, you know, generally get the man of the match award. I've been at a couple of finals where the losing team, you know, have got the man of the match award. And, you know, look, at the end of the day, if some guy plays out of his skin and is the best guy in the field, he should get that award. And I think Rory Fallon was damn close to it, you know, possibly should have got it. But look, that's not to take from Dylan Gainey, who did get it. You know, Tom Sullivan was a mass contender, obviously, Mark O'Connor. So, look, I mean, you know, I'm sure in time, again, Rory Fallon will take some small satisfaction would have taken some satisfaction out of it. But, look, he wasn't there for a man of the match award. He was there for a medal. And, you know, as I say, look, Dylan Gainey got it for Dingle, and it could have been any number of them, really. But, yeah, look, I was just thinking earlier, like, I mean, you know, I thought Stephen Sherlock's performance in the Munster final for St. Finbarr's was going to be the best performance in this club championship from someone on a losing team. He scored 16 points out of 20 for Finbarr's that day and ended up on the losing side. But I think Rory Fallon's performance overall, you know, probably outstripped Sherlock. And it was Dingle that done them both down, Tim.
Absolutely. And the big thing for, I suppose, going forward, a lot of these players will be missing next weekend on Roscommon's visit to Fitzgerald Stadium, Paul.
They will, yeah. Look, I suppose it's just, I suppose, coincidence that Roscommon are coming down next week. And, you know, again, after a Roscommon-Kerry final yesterday in the club final. But, yeah, of course, I mean, you know, the Dingle fellas and the Gaelic fellas from the previous week, they're obviously not going to be on show. I mean, Bridget's have, I think they possibly have 8, 9 or 10 maybe within the wider Roscommon panel. I mean, there's probably going to be, you could see 5 or 6 or 7 of those Roscommon or Bridget's players on the Roscommon team, you know, come the latter stage of the league of the championship, you know. So, yeah, it'll be a seriously weakened, I suppose, weaker Roscommon team because of that, you know, were they to play them maybe towards the end of the league, you know, those Bridges players will be back in. But look, that's the nature of it. Kerry will feel that they'll be a little weakened by the absence of the Dingle fellas as well. But yeah, look, I don't know. It probably won't add a lot of spice in next week's game. That's a different kettle of fish, you know, Tim.
Paul, look forward to speaking to you again. I'm sure I will catch up with you at the weekend at Fitzgerald Stadium. Thanks a million. And well, I suppose I can say it. Best of luck as well to Roscommon for the season.
Lovely, Tim. Good to talk to you as always.
Thanks. That's Paul Brennan, of course, of the Kerryman, speaking to us. Got a message in as well before I go back to the boys, saying a message. Why Tim is saying Blindeville team? It's the St. Pat's Blindeville team. I think I suppose most people would know it's the St. Pat's team. I was involved for a number of years with them. I think I said geographically it's in Blindeville. It's not happening in the clubhouse. They're waiting on the bridge, and the bridge is called Blindeville Bridge. And I don't know where that has come. I didn't say the Blindeville team, and I said I'm sure teams locally and surrounding teams around Tralee will be there. So just to clarify that, and if I did, I stand corrected. But I definitely know that it's the St. Pat's team because yeah, I was involved with them, played a bit with them as well, by the way. Back to John Kennedy and Liam Brosnan. We start talking about the game now. Matchups at the start of the game, Liam, were you picking up? We'll start with Paul Gainey because he was the man that
we're all talking about.
Yeah. Paul went in injured to this game.
He did, yeah. Well, look, Paul's carrying that injury with a number of weeks, but this guy, Piers Frost, is a serious operator, you know, and you could see he never left Paul's side all day yesterday. And but to be fair to Paul, he created space, he kept moving, and for a man that was really on one leg, he really is on one leg, Tim. No, but matchups were always going to be, and Paul was always going to be the man that was going to be man marked after what he'd done in the semi final.
Just before I go to John, the texts are coming through. I thought Niamh, our producer, would read. Oh, you've got it. Niamh, will you? I take it there's a crowd out around the Ballymacallagher area. I'll actually read that one, Niamh, because the last person I seen doing that is the great late Weeshie. Somebody sent in a request one night and he started moving the papers, but Weeshie had this poetic license, God rest him, and he got away with it. I don't know what Niamh will get away with it. There's a huge crowd gathering now in Ballymac along the stretch of the road waiting for the team to pass, and that's something very special by clubs around. Or when another club wins, they're waiting for them to come into the county and they show their support. Niamh, have we anything else coming through the lines?
Oh yeah, we've got lots of messages coming. This one kind of, what was it now? Oh yes. Love this one. So it comes in and it says, lads, that cut differently. Over recent years collectively, we all cheered on Croke, Stacks and Stranraer on Club All-Ireland journeys, but this cut different. We were all emotionally invested yesterday. We were brought along on a journey as West Kerry men, regardless of where in the county we were from. Serious, serious will to win. Something superhuman, just raw belief. Never experienced anything like it.
Yeah, that's a real, real nice message.
And I can agree with it because I was up in Croke Park yesterday and I'll tell you this much now, when the final whistle went, tears were coming out of my eyes and I'm not from Dingle, so
it
cut different.
But I think it captivated all of us, you know, or any, if we have any connection with Dingle as well, and, you know, and I have known a number of great people who've passed.
Is your missus home or is she still in Dublin, Tim?
My missus, the last time I met her was last night. She told me she was heading to Dingle because she wanted to, but that could all change. There's tiredness setting in as well, but yeah, great day for the family and the in-laws back there, and hopefully we give it socks in the commentary just for that alone. John, when you look at the game, I was talking to Liam about matchups, and he mentioned Piers Frost on Paul Gainey. You had to start Paul Gainey yesterday. He had to be brought on at half time in the Ballyboden game. But yes, if he was only in one leg yesterday, just to keep guys busy.
Yeah, Tim, Paul is the spiritual leader. We can see the effect he has. He takes the attention. There was a time just that there was two or three Bridges defenders on him. So that meant there was other guys loose. But Paul, his presence on the field alone means more confidence for the lads. And he was never going to be not started. And I don't think there was any issue about him being taken off afterwards during the game because of his value. But like, you know, I suppose... It was the type of a game. It was end to end stuff, Tim. You know, defenders. One stat I looked at there is the Bridges got 112 from midfield and defence. That meant they got 7 points from their forwards. Whereas on the other side of it, Dingle got 13 points, and you add Mikey Gainey, that's 14 points from their forward division. You know, the forwards on the Bridges side, you know, the Dingle defence, they cope very, very well with them. And, you know, it shows when the pressure is on. A player of the calibre of Bino Carroll, he had the few chances. He'd normally kick them with his eyes closed. But when the pressure is on, you have to get them. That's why there is so much credit to Dingle for the responsibility. The lads, the likes of Tadhg De Bruin, Dylan Case, Dylan Gainey, Tom O'Sullivan, Mark O'Connor. That was a magnificent two-pointer by Mark when it was needed. But it goes to show the big days, you need a big performance from your big players. And I thought Tadhg De Bruin, he was outstanding. He kicked three points. Ran himself into the ground. Ned Ryan, when he came in, let's not forget it, he had a turnover that led to a score from Dylan Gainey. These are defining moments in a game. And, you know, they may look to be small in the bigger picture, but you won't win unless these things happen.
Liam, a great first quarter.
Very good, yeah.
5 points to one ahead. Played, I suppose, a cautious type of game as well, because sometimes it's very hard to commentate players going back and forward along the 45, along the 65. But they ran into the right pockets to get those scores. Tom O'Sullivan with those early scores. Tom finished with five, was it, on the...
Five points
in the afternoon. But that was very important that the likes of... the episode of Ballyboden wouldn't be repeated in the first half in Croke Park.
Yeah, and I think you could see Dingle didn't want that to happen, and I think that would have been one of the main reasons why they would have started Paul as well, even if he'd only one leg. He's a spiritual leader in the field. You heard Mark O'Connor's interview when he said when Paul and Tom Sullivan are on the field,
there's a lot of calmness, and you could see that. But like when you had the likes of Chris Flannery coming up then and kicking that 2-pointer as well in the first half, you know, Dingle were very settled. And you could see, I suppose, at the start teams will get numbers back, and they were, but Dingle have the ability to punch the holes and stuff like that. Billy O'Connor was another man as well who got into a pile of places. You know, they kind of left Billy alone, to be fair. They were kind of saying, we won't mark him. But Billy got into positions. Unlucky, I think he's a first attempt. You know, it didn't go over. If that went over, I think he'd have more confidence. But he was always giving the ball to the right person at the right time, you know, as well. You know, and I think that's very important as well. And I think it was Mikey Ganey has said that in two interviews now. And I know I'm going back to listening, but it's amazing when we hear players. Mikey said, we wanted to give the ball to the right players at the right time. And Billy was typified that. Billy knew that he wasn't a great kicker, especially after the first one. So every time he got the ball in, he was offloading it. And Billy was doing his job. And I think that's what Dingle did in the first half. I suppose if there was any crime that Dingle had going in at half time was the breaking ball. They weren't getting under the breaking ball in the first half. And I think Bridget's really put him under pressure around the middle of the field with that.
And those comments still coming through. Actually, we just got one a couple of moments ago. I almost said we were going to skip the news there, but it's in the Castle Island roundabout. I think the team is in the team bus is in the last few minutes. So for those, and my producer said 5 minutes ago, so they're getting closer all the time to Tralee. So for the supporters out in Blenheville and members of the St. Pat's Club that are on the bridge, I'd just like to tell you that, the Dingle team are on the way in. Hopefully, John, as well, that they'll come, I'm sure they will, Paul, they'll do the same thing as they did in the county final day, the Bishop Mining Cup, taking from the Tralee side over the Blenheville Bridge, and it's as if you're entering back west. And they'll probably do the same with the All-Ireland Trophy.
Yeah, Tim, that's no doubt, that's the gateway to the West.
And that tradition?
That's tradition. You get off the bus and you walk over the bridge, and that's an emotional thing, Tim. It's their third time this year, and you know, this is the big one, and you know, no better man than Paul to take that cup across Blenheville Bridge, and it's great to see the crowd of people that have assembled there. And that's the thing about Kerry. There's so much, you know, competition. There's so much parish rivalry. But when the team is going from Kerry,
everyone is behind them.
There's no, and I'd agree with Niamh. The emotion yesterday with people from all over the county when Dingle won, and Paul Ganey, that remarkable speech from the Hogan stand. You know, Os Gaeilge, what a speech, reminiscent of the great Joe Connolly or maybe the great Paddy Shear, Ambrose or Ron Ambrose. They've been great speeches. This was incredible. He mentioned everything. His two kids up with him. What a day for him. But that's what it's all about. But the emotion, which is, it's unusual to have so much emotion from people outside the club.
I suppose they did take us on a roller coaster kind of a trip this year, didn't they?
Nail biting stuff,
and the way they dug out victories and stuff like that. So the whole county got behind them.
Liam, the second quarter then, that we saw then how good St. Bridges were. Mm. They absorbed quite a lot. Then they were getting their couple of scores themselves, and you'd know that they were down this road before.
You would, yeah, because I thought Shane Cullahan, the midfielder there, really came into it in that quarter. But just before they started to take over, I thought it was a Dylan Ganey's point, just it was 11 to 12 minutes, summed up what's good about Kerry forward play. You know, he jinked three or four players, he did a 1-2 with Paul Ganey, and he stuck it over the bar. So it was a sweet score. But from there on then, Bridges started picking up all the breaks. You know, they took over on the middle of the field. No, I need a dirty ball, as they call it. They were picking it up. But to be fair to Dingle, they hung on there. And I think that was Dingle's kind of thing all year. They were hanging on to the tails of the jackets at times, and they were hoping to stay within touching distance. And they did. And whenever Dingle are within touching distance of a team, you know, they don't do panic. And you could see that. But going in at half time, Bridget's looked like a serious machine, all right.
And John, striking whilst the iron is hot, that's what St. Bridget were doing. They got really on top of the game, to be fair, in that second quarter. Well, the big thing, by Dingle wouldn't go away. And even by their own admission, they probably didn't play to the standards what, you know, we're used to. But the big thing, and I'm sure, and I spoke to Padraig Corcoran after the game, they didn't want what happened, the Ballyboden game, that 10 points down going into half time, St. Bridget's would have learned, I suppose, about the things not to do in the second half if they were in that position. And that's why, I'm sure that's why they came at him in the second quarter as well, St. Bridget's. They were trying to pin him, get scores, get in ahead, and then, I won't say park the bus, but make it as difficult as possible for Dingle in the second half.
Yeah, Dingle were conscious of that, and you hear it from the interviews, that wasn't going to happen this time. And, you know, Bridget's had players that were hurting them, particularly Conor Hand from centre-forward, great guy with serious pace. I'd agree with Liam Conan, you know, Rory Fanlon, obviously. Brian Stack, the man with the Listowel Amos connections, he had a serious game from centre-back. But, you know, to win 2 points down, and I think Paul got a score within 30 seconds and it was followed by 2 points from Mark O'Connor. You know, that was very important to start that half well.
Yeah.
Because you didn't want Bridges to get a foothold.
And I think even Tom Sullivan's point just before half time, I think around the 27 minute, it just brought it to the 2 points again. Was a vital score, and it kept Dingle within touching distance the whole time.
We'll take a break. Somebody shout in my ear here, Tim. You got to pay the bills. You've got to go to a break. And back after that, plenty more on that Dingle versus St. Bridges game.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Proudly sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, supporting Kerry Sport and community as Kerry's first B Corp hotel.
You're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. Here in studio, we have John Kennedy and Liam Brosnan. And I've just been told that the Dingle panel of players and their management team are listening to Terrace Talk. All I can say, lads, a heartiest congratulations. You've done the county proud. And what a night it's going to be in Dingle. And with that, and I'm sure there's shouts going to go up in the bus when I name the first 15, likewise the substitutes and the management team. So we'll start with the goalkeeper for that great day in Croke Park. The biggest day in the history of Dingle GAA was Gavin Kern. The full back line, Brian O'Connor, Tom O'Sullivan. We'll call him Tom Leo. And I'm sure there's a big shout in the bus for Tom Leo at full back. And another star in the corner, that is Tom O'Sullivan. The half-back line read, right half-back, Aidan O'Connor. Conor Flannery at centre-back. And on the other wing, Patrick O'Connor. In the middle of the field is a man that came from down under. Won All-Ireland medals at minor level. And likewise Hogan Cups, the great Mark O'Connor. With another great O'Connor beside him, that is Billy O'Connor. The half-hour line read yesterday, Tyke Brown, a massive, massive shift put in by this man. And a brilliant year by him. At centre-forward and the captain of the side, Paul Ganey. They call him the spiritual leader. Man of the match yesterday went to the man wearing the number 12 shirt. That was Dylan Ganey. Conor Ganey at right corner forward. The busy as a bee, Matthew Flaherty. And in the other corner was another Ganey, Niall Ganey. Moving swiftly to the subs, Oisín O'Dowd wearing the number 16 shirt. We had Sean O'Gmoran, who came on, of course, yesterday. Carl Bambury, Ned Ryan, Mikey Ganey, Christopher Kane, Paddy Ryan, Mickey Boland, Michal Flannery, Darrow Sullivan, Rory McCarthy, Mark Ash, Brian Devan, Jack O'Sullivan and Conor O'Sullivan. With every ship, you need a captain. Well, we know the captain was Paul Ganey, but the leader of this Dingle team, the manager, the great Padraig Corcoran. Made up of selectors as well, Jim Garvey, Tomás O'Griffin, Tommy Griffin, of course. Jim Garvey is there. And of course, we said during the year, both Aidan O'Shea was added to that list as well. And likewise, Seamus Weldon. If I've forgotten somebody in that list of players, I sometimes can't read my own writing at times. I wish you the very best. Enjoy. And we look forward to catching up maybe one or two of those players when you come off the bus back at Blenheville Bridge. So heartiest congratulations for everyone. From everyone here on Terrace Talk, and you deserve all the plaudits you'll get over the next week, maybe over the next decade, because you're All-Ireland champions and nobody can take it away from you, lads. So very well done. Liam, the excitement is gathering that bus now. The feeling, and we said it earlier, it's fine, you're above in Dublin, you celebrate it. Maybe if you went to, I know one or two fellas that went to Coppers last night. I'm a bit too old for Coppers.
I could have taken Ambrose at him.
Ambrose, I'd say we'd be stopped at the door, but they say, who are we collecting? Liam, you're going back into your own land. You're going back into your own area.
The hair starts standing in the back of the neck now, Tim. Yeah, yeah. With the excitement, and like you said, you're getting into your own locality. You cross the county bounds first into Kerry, and then all of a sudden you see the Ballymac people out and their numbers to welcome him home. And
I better mention Liam O'Connor as well, because he's going to be the boss. I'm sure he could be one of them in, because he'd pulled me on that. He did a brilliant interview as well, Liam, when we were back doing the pre-match.
But that management team, like, and I suppose, John, we've been in many a management team, but you could see the work that they had to put in was unbelievable. And the S&C team, the physio, from everyone, they deserve huge credit, to be fair, because like we're on about the split season with injuries. No, it's game after game after game. No, and there's a lot of those guys that were carrying injuries for a long time, and they were still able to get onto the field. And that's down to pure management by the whole management team and the S&C and your physios as well.
We might go there in a while as well. I'm sure Niamh has listened to us inside that. We'll go to David Nelligan just to see, has the atmosphere really built? And I'm sure it has, waiting for this Dingle team as they arrive back in Blenheville. Of course, St. Pat's Club, and I'm sure surrounding clubs are there to support this great Dingle team. John, going in at half time, Dingle management would be quite happy with that, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they'd be quite happy, Tim. You know, 2 points down, room for improvement. You know, and they just got the sanctuary of the dressing room, tweak a few things. And as I said, they came out in and they hit the ground running, particularly the point from Paul, Mark O'Connor with the two pointer, Dylan followed up with another two pointer. And you know, the other thing then, Tim, is the black card about the 44th minute, but it didn't ruffle St. Bridget's. You know, sometimes the extra man, it can be difficult to use it, so it didn't really they upped their game, and it showed, you know, the ability they had. And they the players we mentioned previously, they continue to drive at Dingle, but the composure by Dingle, they never lost that concentration. They Gavin Curran made a huge stop as well. That was a big save from Ronan Stack. Had the goal gone in at that stage,
49th minute.
Yeah. We could mention several things during the game, but this was a big one. You know, Mark O'Connor's block and Gavin Curran, they were crucial in the outcome of the game.
And another man that I should have mentioned there, actually, Johnny B. Brosnan, and all that management team. They had, I'd say, each guy brought something to the table, Liam, and it showed in the way it was. I suppose described the first quarter by Kerry in commentary as a very measured performance, and that happened in the second half as well. You were up against a serious St. Bridget's side.
You could see that from after the first 10 minutes that St. Bridget's, you know, they were well able to play. But like you said, every member of the management team, and you won't get to places like this. You won't win our Ireland's without everyone doing their role. No matter what, how small or how big it is, whether it's the kit men, the logistics, whatever. But like getting back to the game there, and the 48 minutes as well, John, tied the Browns point. Yep. No, it brought it to 111 to 15 points. Then a minute later, it was Gavin's great save. And then was it the 54th minute, Tig De Bruyne hit another great score to put him, you know, to put, I think it was 16 to 111 then. You know, so it was, and then on the 59th minute, we'll all speak about Mark O'Connor's block. No, it was like that man threw, we were on about Aidan Welsh last week, but Mark O'Connor threw himself around like a rag doll yesterday as well. No, he fetched ball from the air. He was defensively, he was in the right place at the right time all the time. And that doesn't come by accident. That comes being a good footballer.
You know, well, John, there's no hiding places in Croke Park. A number of players from the Dingle side, no different to the St. Bridget side, would have played there. And we said it beat underage level, with their schools, and of course the Kerry seniors as well. So that helped both sides perform as well, because some of those players yesterday, even the Dingle side, it can be very overwhelming going out. There was 25,000 people, supporters, and which was lovely as well, actually. I'm deviating a small bit, or going off on a tangent. A lot of the hurling supporters stayed on to watch the football game. But they can be very overwhelming, no matter if there's 82,000 or 25,000 or 5,000 or 5 people there.
Yeah, Croke Park is an unforgiving place, Tim. There's no place to hide, as you said. You make a mistake there and you're punished. But, you know, the leaders on Dingle did really well. But there's no question about it. You know, the O'Connors, I think there, Conor Flannery, centre back.
Excellent,
yes. Tadhg De Bruyne. You know, these guys were absolutely outstanding. And they did all the simple things right. They didn't make mistakes. But I suppose the positional awareness of Mark O'Connor, particularly in a defensive role, you know, getting the hand in, getting the block. But that block was critical in the overall picture of it. And you know, repeating
it again. And
it
wasn't a 45 either.
No, it wasn't a 45.
And they got
no,
a point out of it.
Yeah, but it was a superb block because he dived fully to smother what was a certain goal at that stage.
I'm going to mention, and we've mentioned it during the commentary as well, but they were hit with sadness as well, the Dingle players, which, you know, they'll grieve the same as the four boys that were involved, four grandsons of Maura Murphy, who passed away, and she'd be a mother-in-law to the chairman, Sean O'Sullivan, and likewise a mother-in-law of Jim Garvey, and there's a connection there with Dara Kaneda as well. So that can throw, no matter what, I suppose, work and what preparation you do, overnight things, you know, the rug can be pulled out of you. And we were saying it earlier, lads, it can either, I might have to, sorry, you know, yep, break there for a second, because we have to head to out to St. Pat's, out to Blenheville, and we have David Nelligan waiting for us. We had David on earlier, so he did a scene set. What's happening there now, David?
Yeah, good evening, Tim, and you're very welcome back here to Blenheville Bridge, where the All-Ireland champions have just gotten off the bus here. Paul Ganey coming out of the bus with the End American Cup. So they're being greeted by a pipe and drum band. So they're about to start their crossing of Blenheville Bridge here. Just about 30 seconds ago, who was in full tune, but they've just stopped for photos here now before they make the crossing. As I look around the bridge, good massive crowd here, a couple of hundred people, bonfires ablaze. So all great atmosphere, great excitement, and they're about to do their crossing here in the next couple of minutes.
And the I take it they were greeted with huge applause when they were coming
all
from
big
that
roars,
bus.
As you can probably hear in the background now, there's big roars, but there was a huge most of the crowd now, as they only start their crossing across the bridge, so there'll be even more shouting and roaring and, I suppose, ecstasy as they cross the bridge now in the next couple of minutes.
And I take it the captain came off that bus and holding the cup.
Yes, indeed, all three cups actually had an appearance, Tim. The Munster Championship, the All-Ireland Championship, and the Kerry, the Bitch One Hang Cup. So as you can hear now, it's in full swing, so I'll hand back to you in studio, Tim.
Oh, great stuff, and hopefully you get to chat with one or two of those players. Thanks a million. That is David Nelligan. He's on the Blenheville Bridge as the supporters out there welcome the All-Ireland winning senior club team of 2026. John, that's going to, hopefully we'll catch up with one or two of the players, and it's a long night, a long day of celebration. The second half, the approach by Dingle in that third quarter, which is a huge quarter as well, John. The big thing is you have to start quite well, and even though I suppose both sides were scoring during that period as well.
They were scoring, Tim. It was tit for tat really, but you know, Bridges got their noses in front again. And I suppose then we talk about the introduction of the subs, Ned Ryan, Mikey Ganey in particular. You know, Ned Ryan had a great turnover which led to a score from Dylan Ganey, but Mikey Ganey really got stuck in. And you know, with 10 minutes to go, you couldn't really call who was going to win it. In actual fact, it looked as if it was advantage St. Bridget's. They seemed to have a bit of more legs. They seemed to be running more freely, and particularly Hand at centre forward. He was causing a lot of trouble for them, and Conan in the middle of the field, you know, Brian Stack as well. But, you know, they're a resilient bunch, and they weathered the storm, and, you know, they went ahead. But what a score to level it and take it extra time by our wing-back Fallon. What an absolutely superb kick. You have to respect...
He threw a foot at it, yes, into the canal. Yeah.
And you have to respect class wherever they come from. But this was a massive score by the wing-back.
And Liam, John is right. Like, they had momentum, they had energy.
Again, Dingle were on the ropes. Like,
they were picking up breaking ball and running. But to be fair to Dingle, they didn't deviate. They did. They stuck with whatever system they had. But you need that wow factor. That is, and we've seen it with the last couple of weeks, actually, visiting Dublin. Well, especially last weekend when the Ungaeltacht and Ballymacallaghert were winning their All-Irelands. It's a very difficult goal to, whatever, I don't know, is it the time of year? Is it the wind, the spin and the wind? There was wides at the left and right of the post into the canal end.
Yeah, I suppose the way Croke Park is, I suppose there's a swirling breeze in there because it comes in from the hill and it kind of goes around the stands then as well. But for me, John, and another point was Dylan's point in the second half, yep. The one that he curled in. No, we're on about the breeze and kicking in with the breeze. The way he curled that in was fantastic.
Great stuff, Liam and John. We're taking a quick break and hopefully we'll get to chat with David Nelligan and hopefully he may have Paul Gainey with him, but that's after the break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Proudly sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, supporting Kerry Sport and community as Kerry's first B Corp hotel.
You're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. I'm here in studio with John Kennedy and Liam Brosnan. And, well, we'll be very shortly, hopefully, going to David Nelligan or those players from Dingle. If we can get hold of them, I know they're busy crossing the bridge at the moment. Liam Brosnan, moving into that latter stages of the second half. There were supporters up, there were, it's knife edge, there were nails biting, I'd say. Nobody from either side knew what way the game would go.
No, and to be fair, Dingle were on the ropes, no? So, but in the other side, and I think that's what's special, I suppose, about the Kerry footballers, is that we have forwards, Tim. No? And John said at the very start of the show, how many forwards scored for Kerry compared to what scored for St. Bridget's. And I think when you have forwards with the likes of Dylan, Connor, Paul, Tadhg De Bruyn, these guys who can kick scores and not afraid to kick scores.
And 12 points came missed from that half forward line.
Exactly, yeah. And you look there, when the pressure came on, Tadhg De Bruyn kicked two fantastic points.
Oh, brilliant scores.
Two fantastic points. No, and I know Gavin Curran had a massive save, but like it was the likes of them moments really that really kind of pushed Dingle over the line. You know, we'll talk about the Paul Ganeys and the Tom Sullivans and all these guys, but I do agree that it was the Tadhg De Bruyns and all these guys, Noel O'Connors and, you know, the guys that don't get the headlines for most of the time. You won't get over the line without them, and they really got Dingle over the line yesterday.
John, it's amazing that you have mentioned one man during the course of the last, I suppose, hour, really. You never mentioned the ref.
Oh, Tim. I suppose, Tim, there was a few decisions. You know, if you were...
I would say both sides, maybe.
Both sides, yeah. If you were a Bridget's man, definitely, I think, the midfielder, Eddie Nolan, it was a free in near the end. But they balance out, Tim, at the end of the day. You know, I wouldn't say he influenced the game to the effect that Dingle won it because of it. But look...
I thought, and this is... We all see games differently, but the one thing, if you're commentating, you're continuously with the play. You have to... Maybe if you're a supporter down below, you can turn sideways and speak to no different when Ambrose comes in to do his analysis or... But the one thing I did know, I thought it was very difficult at times. I saw things happening to Dingle players and there was no whistle. I saw something very similar to St. Bridget's players and they were getting the whistle. So, and I'm not, look, it's a difficult scenario inside those white lines, big game. This man has reffed, I think, an Ulster final and... I think he did a Leinster final as well, and no different to any ref. I'm sure his aspirations of going further, but it can be a bit frustrating watching at times. If you know, I've seen on one occasion yesterday, well, maybe more than one occasion, that the Dingle player surrounded a St. Bridget's player. The St. Bridget's player got a free, and then I seen it in extra time, or I don't think it was extra time. Actually, it was the second half. The same thing happened, and the overcarrying was either allowed or not allowed. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you're spot on, Tim. I think it can be very frustrating. You know, consistency is all you're looking for. But again, as I said in previous games and here on Monday nights, is that, you know, it would be wrong to be dwelling on the ref because it was a superb game of football.
I'm not saying you are.
But definitely you're right that there was a few occasions when you'd have to say that Bridges got the free easier. Dingle had to work harder for it. That's what I'd say about it, you know. But football was the real winner on the day.
Liam, you'd be considered as a referee's best friend, you know.
Unfortunately not McAnally's best friend.
You umpire a lot. You've been involved with the top refs, the top Kerry refs, doing intercounty. Your thoughts, and you see when you see things that, and you'd be one of these guys that you have to link up with, and one or two decisions that actually there was a decision, the foot trip, we called it, said
yeah, you could see it plainly.
It wasn't a foot trip; it was a hand trip.
Yeah.
But straight away we were calling for a black card. Now we can be a little bit biased at times, Ambrose and myself, but straight away. But he was right; it was right on his premises. He was right on the premises, and he had to consult with his umpire.
Yeah. Yeah, look, to be fair, Mac, I had him with the college a good few years ago, and he did us no favours that day either, so I wouldn't be one of his biggest fans, to be fair, you know. But, like, there was some big calls yesterday now that he did miss, you know, from both sides. But, like, you look at the Bridges one near the end where the midfielder went through. You know, that's the winning of the game for Bridgets. You could be very sore today. You're looking at that. No, you look at the Dingle side of it. You look at the one then with Paul Gainey. Very close to being, could have been a black card for Paul. No, very, very close. No, you could have the argument where could Paul go, but Paul was cute enough. He put himself there. No, he wasn't going moving. He screened and they got the score out of it. No, small little things like that. But small things like that are big things in an All-Ireland final.
And I would agree with that because at one stage Ned Ryan got a ball in the Hogan Stand side, just about 3 or 4 metres inside. I'd say it was inside, between the 65 and the 45 at the canal inside, and he had the ball in possession. So he was taken out, and
that's right. Yeah.
The ball broke.
Yeah.
And the St. Bridget went the attack again. So if you were a Dingle supporter, you'd be saying, if that went down and was a big score, if that ended up in the back of the net, you're talking about further out the field, and you can let things go, but on the same token, they could be hugely decisive.
Like Mark O'Connor's block down that went out for a 45. They put that over the bar. If Dingle lost by a point, wouldn't you be looking at that tonight, and we'd be discussing why was that called?
That shouldn't be happening, Liam.
It shouldn't be happening. And it should not be happening.
You'll give a benefit to the ref when it is the rough and tumble of a match and it is going at pace. But a decision like that, the umpires are there, like, they're close enough to, it should not be given today in Gaelic football or hurling. That definitely could have been the winning of the game for Bridgets.
And like I said, the umpires are there, but the technology is there as well, Tim, but they're not using it.
Especially when you're in Croke Park.
Yeah, the technology, like, we can see, like, you can't get a score, a point wrong in Croke Park now, because what happens if the ball goes wide in Croke Park and the umpire puts it as a point, Hawkeye will call you. And there's a saying out there, Hawkeye will call the umpire anyway. Are we going back to...
We'll now go to another break. We're under pressure to take that break, but plenty more about that Dingle versus St. Bridget's game after this.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Proudly sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, supporting Kerry Sport and community as Kerry's first B Corp hotel.
You're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. Well, it's really moving fast, the programme tonight, because as we discuss one of the most amazing games of all time at club level, played at Croke Park yesterday, where Dingle became senior club All-Ireland champions. We were chatting about the referee. We're going to park that, as you said, that on another day, John, decisions like that could cost the team. Got a text in here, lads. Why was Paul Gainey awarded a free in the last seconds after Mikey Gainey scoring a point? No one seems to know, and I might have missed it already.
It looks like, Tim, that the goalkeeper put the ball on the tee and it never travelled outside the arc when he kicked it, which is a free in.
And I know it didn't happen. Did a breach happen yesterday?
No.
And it's amazing because we watch games, Liam, over the last number of weeks, and players are still, I suppose there's a bit of rush of blood or whatever, and it's so costly to a team. Even, you know, there could be a point between the sides, it could be a point to level it or a point to go ahead. It's still mistakes are still being made.
Oh, yeah.
Would you call those basic level?
Basic level. But even...
bit of communication.
Even that kick. No, and I heard you this morning on the radio about the lovely sentiment with Paul and leaving Mikey having to win. But the cuteness by Paul was to kick that wide, because if he went for a kicking that over the bar and hit the post, it would have been still in play. It might be one in a million, but it could happen. He wasn't going to allow that. I don't know. Was that thing in his head about Mikey to kick the last kick?
Please stop.
I think he wants us to make sure the game was over.
That was a lovely story by you.
It was a lovely story. Do make that up this morning yourself.
No, and I tell you, a fella kicked that ball over the bar with Wellingtons.
He would, but if it hit the post, which were Wellingtons and Bridges, would have went down and got a score.
Paul Gainey hit the black spot on that over there.
But Tim, on that... John,
do you not believe what I said?
I think you could be right, Tim. I think, but I'll tell you, on Paul Gainey, on that issue, if that was the reason, you know, it says a lot about the man.
But isn't more, that what I'm trying to say?
But more importantly, I think, when the final whistle sounded, Paul Gainey was after leading his club to the promised land. What was the first thing he did? That says so much about Paul Gainey and the calibre of the player we're talking about.
See, Paul Gainey has been in that position as well. Exactly. They have lost a lot.
Let's get back. First of all, they're first cousins. Mikey will go down in his legendary status
in Dingle now, yeah.
But even before that, lads, you think about Mikey Gainey, his input or impact. This is a man that's living in Dublin. Himself and his wife, they're expecting, I don't know, it's their first child, or there's a baby over the next few weeks. It's very difficult for that man to commit to a club. All that mileage coming down for training. Speaking to, I think it was part of Cork and after, he's only trained once or twice since the Munster final. And why I'm saying that and why you went with that this morning, it wasn't me making up any stories. And when you're on radio...
You never make up stories.
You can't make up stories. No. Even though one time Ambrose said to me, every good story needs a good lie, but I don't believe that with Ambrose. But what it is, the glory and the want and the celebration, what it meant to Paul in Mikey kicking the point. I tell you, I was standing right in front of the man and it meant so much to him. And it wasn't me fabricating a story, but Liam, in all fairness, your story about hitting the crossbar, this was Paul Gainey able to kick a ball from the arc straight over the black spot, and you're telling me a 13 metre free will hit the post. It doesn't happen.
But you know, Tim, you're
talking making sure it wasn't going to happen, though.
You're talking about cousins there and stuff. Something immediately after the final whistle yesterday, you know, my thoughts went to Barry Dan.
Yeah.
Oh, what a fantastic footballer. That dreaded cruciate injury. Missed out in Kerry winning the All-Ireland Senior and missed out in Dingle. You know, he's part of it, of course, but, you know, what a pity.
Yeah, and I'd be a big, big fan of Barry Dan. He's such a nice guy off the field. This kind of football would have suited him. You could say that would Dingle have won an All-Ireland without Mark O'Connor? Probably not.
Probably not, yeah.
If Barry Dan was there, you would definitely give him a chance if Mark O'Connor wasn't there. And I think Barry as well, and he went travelling, and I'm not so sure was he there yesterday, but he definitely was on his way back to Ireland. So can you imagine the hurt, lads, that it happened with a player during your time with Kerry, Diarmaid O'Donoghue?
Yeah.
You know, broke a leg. He was going to be captain, Kerry, and that's how the story of Ambrose after being 84 captain. So it must be desperate for a player to miss probably this biggest day in the club's history, Liam.
Yeah, you're hard to quote him. And even during the year with Kerry, you know,
Sorry, Liam, I have to cut across you.
Here's hands waving here, John, altogether.
I've Mark O'Connor on the phone. Good evening, Mark.
Hello, Tim.
How are you, Mark? First of all, I knew you swept past me yesterday. Everyone wanted part of you. What's it like being on the Blenheim Bridge and being an All-Ireland club champion?
Yeah, it's phenomenal, Tim. It was great just to see the numbers out there. Familiar faces again, which is always good. And yeah, it's just great to be able to share it all with everyone.
A massive celebration, I'm sure, over the last 24. Mark, you give a huge commitment to Dingle over the last... You're playing a professional game, but to respect your club, I was watching on social media today, there was players got up in the middle of the night watching their colleague, their player, their friend perform for Dingle. Likewise, the lads, your other players travelled over to watch you. You've got huge respect there, but it's something you always want to do, something big with your club. I take it it's up there with probably the biggest thing that happened in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mentioned it yesterday. It's just so personal, and it's probably the hardest one to win. especially for a small little town in the southwest of Ireland, with the population and our club size, it's fairly rare. So to be able to do it yesterday is just a dream come true.
And Mark, you said you looked up onto the stand yesterday and you saw members of your family and your fellow players from the Aussie Rules game up there, likewise before other games during the year. You probably don't get that down in Australia. And this, I suppose it's all about local guys that you went to primary school, secondary school, you won Hogan Cups with, you played with some of them at All-Ireland minor level. Is this the sweetest moment of your career?
Yeah, absolutely. It is. We don't have quantity in the crowd, but we certainly have the quality. So looking up in the stands yesterday was a very special moment before the game. I tried not to look for too long, or the emotions probably would have gotten a bit too high. Going around in the parade and that. So I took a quick glance up at the family and the friends and all coaches and all that kind of stuff, and then tried to get back to business. But absolutely, this is it probably hasn't sunk in yet, to be honest, but it's certainly up there.
Can I ask you about one particular moment in that game? It was down the canal end, you put your body on the line, it was going for goal. What was the feeling down then? You came back a lot in front of your own post yesterday, especially during the second half, likewise extra time. You had to put your body on the line on that particular occasion, Mark.
Yeah, it was. I'm not sure. Yeah, I did end up back there quite a bit, and I'd say they were probably kind of dragging. They were trying to kind of flood the square, and you probably want to. You kind of want to keep an eye on them, and you know those dropping balls are dangerous. So I tried to be around there, but yeah, it's just. I know the ball came in, and I know it's. You just do what has to be done, I suppose.
Mark, you've got a taste for back for the Irish game. You've a huge commitment, and I said the management, we must compliment them and Geelong for allowing you come back and play with Dingle. Your aspirations for the future, does it give you a taste for the green and gold jersey again?
I'm not sure. Like, as I said yesterday, I owe a lot to Geelong and what they've given me over the past 10 years nearly, so I owe a lot to them as well. So I'll definitely be heading out there now again and try and repay all the faith that they've given me. So,
and once you've repaid all that, would you like and come back and visit us again and wear that green and gold jersey?
Yeah, of course. Like, we'll just see how we go. And I know it's hard to kind of phrase things because.
I'm not looking for a headline, Mark. You know, with years, I meet you back during Christmas, and I'm always trying to convince you. And I know what a life you have out there. But wouldn't it be sweet to get that senior All Ireland medal?
Oh, absolutely, like absolutely. And especially after today. Today was very special. I just don't want to do anyone a disservice or disrespect by saying something that mightn't sound great. I know it's not. I know you're not. Headlines or anything like that, and I'd never.
Sure, how could I? I'm married to Dingle woman. Yeah. I'm looking for no headline, but I suppose it's our want. And we saw something very special, and Ambrose and myself doing the commentary yesterday, Mark, that you had physicality. And I saw something going up today about wouldn't we have loved to have seen Mark O'Connor up against Brian Fintan? And what I'm trying to say, the respect of us here, what. We think is, and not that we're after winning in All-Ireland, but we're saying to have Mark O'Connor with that physicality in the middle of the park for Kerry, you can understand our plight as well, can't you?
Oh, it's a monstrous compliment. So it's, absolutely. I'd be blown away by that type of thing. And any time Brian Fenton is mentioned, it's always a bit of an honour. And because of the stature that he has in the game, he's been phenomenal. But, no, it's been good. Like, it's just been a great few months, just trying to build every week and trying to learn new things from the game. And that's just been very enjoyable. The whole thing's just been so enjoyable.
Finally, before I leave, I know you're under pressure, Mark. What does Paul mean to the team? Like, he's a spiritual leader, a great captain. He went in with an injury into that game yesterday. But I always say about the top 6 inches, he showed it in a big way yesterday. He showed leadership. What an ambassador for Kerry, for Dingle, for his family. You must take a bow on that occasion.
Yeah, I said it yesterday. I think Paul is probably underrated in the sense that I think he's the best club player of all time, or certainly that I've seen. What he's done in the game and what he's done even in our losses, like, as you know, Tim, we've had some tough losses over the years in the county championship and big games, but never has Paul ever let us down. He's had some huge score lines put up even in our losses, and just it's easy probably to recognise when we're going well and we're winning and everything is hunky dory, but geez, when the days were bad, Paul was never bad, and I just think that's such a good sign of a great player, and to me he's the best. I can't imagine anyone being better than him in Dingle, but in terms of any club man anywhere, I just can't imagine anyone to have contributed to a club as much as Paul Ganey has for Dingle.
Absolutely great, lovely compliment to him. When do you head back, Mark, with your fellow players, or have they gone back already, or are you staying around for a few days?
The other players actually headed back today, but I'm going to head back on Wednesday, so I'll try and talk it in over the next couple of days and then head back on Wednesday.
All we can wish you, I think, and you got a huge compliment here on Terrace Talk tonight as well. They reckon Dingle wouldn't have won the All-Ireland without a Mark O'Connor. And I think that's a huge, you take it as a compliment. And the only thing, other thing I'd say to you is keep on to my phone number and text me. I want that exclusive when it does happen, Mark.
No matter, Tim. No matter.
Great stuff. Enjoy your night, Mark, and it's a pleasure to speak to you.
So, cheers, Tim. Thank you.
That is Mark O'Connor. I tried my best, lads.
You tried your best, Tim, but you did, in fairness to for a good cause.
Isn't it lovely to hear him speak, lads? And I think it's a measure of, like you say, written in the stars, that having a guy like that, like, I'm sure his professionalism alone, and we have to think about it as well, lads. He wasn't long gone back when he had to return to Ireland. And I know there's people out there as well that question,
why should he be playing, yeah?
A professional player, but we see it in other codes as well. Like, does it, say, physicality maybe, but Mark is well, he's your own club man. If I had, there was five fellas out, they were playing Australian rules, I'd bring him back.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you do the same, and I think it's the ones that, a little bit of sour grapes out there, is there?
But Tim, I suppose, when you listen to the stuff in Australia as well, he's very highly thought of over there. You know, in for his ability and off the field ability as well. You know, so it's a credit to the man. You know, for what he's after doing for his town, for his parish, you know, for his GAA club, and he's going over now back to professional sport, where it's high. You know, it's high demand. You know, it's a tough, and he's probably one of the best footballers in Australia as well. So that just shows how good this guy is.
After that chat, we have to take another break in the evening. The producer is giving out to me, and you don't want Niamh Daly giving out to you. So we take the next break of the evening.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Proudly sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, supporting Kerry Sport and community as Kerry's first B Corp hotel.
You're very welcome back to Terrace Talk, and I want to thank the Dingle management and the Dingle players for allowing us to speak to Mark. Very interesting conversation with Mark O'Connor before the break, and I want to thank David Nelligan as well out there. He was out and about, and he was kind of envious of us three here in the studio, even though, Liam, you're dressed like an Eskimo.
That's a nice top.
But it was brilliant, and we wish, we enjoyed speaking to Mark, and we wish all the Dingle team management and all their support. I tell you, I'd love to be back in Dingle tonight for that homecoming, their own, in front of your own people, the pride and the streets that they walked in Dingle as young fellas, and they're bringing back an All-Ireland trophy. That's absolutely brilliant. Move swiftly, John, to extra time. Extra time. And you know that, John, and you've been involved with minor teams that gone to extra time. And if you don't get, you can let teams, you can't concede too much, but it's very important to get those early scores, to put pressure, ask questions of the opposition.
Yeah, no doubt. Him and Fallon, he kicked a point from play, he kicked a two-pointer.
Pointer after,
After a great run by our centre-forward, which you mentioned, Hand. Shane Conan, he missed the two-pointer free. That was a critical one. And then from a Dingle point of view, the Conor Ganey got the free, and he missed a two-pointer free. So, like, it was nip and tuck, and then Dylan kicked the point from play, a great score, as we've mentioned previously, and I said it earlier on, that was following the turnover by Ned Ryan, and that was crucial to keep in touch. But you'd have to say, at the beginning of extra time, it looked as if there was a slight advantage for Bridget again. They seemed to be running that bit freer.
And then you'd look back at Dingle, they still weren't gone away.
Lee. No,
they're still, like we said at the start, they were always Bridges could never get away from them. You know, Dingle were always within touching distance, hanging on to their coattails, and then, like they've done all year, they go moving for the kill towards the end. And
I think you see it more in an All-Ireland club, because, fair enough, they opened the Cusick Stand side, the bottom tier and the next tier up, which was brilliant, and you know, it created that huge atmosphere that was over in the Cusick Stand. Because it was underneath us, we couldn't directly see, but like Mark said there, you're looking up and you could see a face. You see, that's the local thing again, that you can see a guy from Dingle and he's shouting. That only motivates you to go on, because you're very close to the supporters.
Yeah, and it's parochial, like, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If you look at, you know, all the red tops and I think it is a black cap with, of course, the crest of Dingle is on, you look out and they're roaring and you know that's your own crowd.
Yeah, you know, and it must be a great feeling, like, you know. I suppose we can't experience what it's like for them Dingle players when that whistle went yesterday, but like to look up at your under 10 coach, you're probably under 8 coach, you know, and your school teachers, you know, because there was such a, even probably the bar where we spent growing up, going out, the bar owner was probably there as well. So it's a community thing, and you could see that it means so much. And I think Mark's interviews have been fantastic.
Brilliant.
You know, and he's away from the town, but when he comes back, no, it just brings everything to the surface for him.
Yeah. Okay, I must mention one family as well, and to be fair, they're acknowledged as brilliant community people and support in the community right around the shops in Listowel, Castle Island, Tralee and Dingle itself. The Garvey family, and I know after winning the Bishop Mining Cup and, you know, meeting Tomás, it was probably his proudest day. But when you see supporters that, and as Mark said there about Paul Ganey on there on the bad days, but if you've the backing of a family like that, you know, it's very important. And the pride they take in Gaelic games, and we see this, they sponsor other sports as well they're involved with.
Yeah.
But it means a lot. And these successful businessmen are in your own community as well. But at the end of the day, they're all on the same level when they go and support.
Yeah, and you know, success breeds success, as I say, Tim. It's community. You know, Garvey's are a community-based family. You know, wherever they have their shops, it's community-based. They're identified with it. They support the community they're in. Outside of Dingle, you know, in Listowel and Castle Island, Newcastle West, and they're hugely successful. And they're, you know, Dingle is their home spot. The pride they have, and we're back to this again, you cannot beat that. They're representing, they're at home with their own people, their own club. They're shopping with them, but they're supporting them in return. Outside of football, but the football is the big one. And there was no stone left unturned by that management team. And it is great to have the backing of, you know, a well-known and highly reputable firm in Garvey's. And that's what they are.
And that's, I don't know if he's listening tonight, Seamus Garvey as well, who would be a brother of Tomás Garvey. He actually reffed in a big game, and it was an All-Ireland semi-final. I think Meath were involved some years ago. So they're proud, and of course Jim played with Dingle, and likewise his younger brother Thomas as well. So they're real GA family, and well, they support lots of other disciplines as well, but I know from dealing with Jim that the pride they take in that. Liam, extra time, then, we spoke about it earlier in the programme as well. The end result.
Yeah, I think we'll
momentum. Like Tom O'Sullivan.
We'll fast forward to Tom O'Sullivan's two points.
Tom O'Sullivan's 2 points. Going into the pocket.
Yeah.
He knew he was a county player. You kind of expect that from Tom. At this level, you'd say your county player has to stand up.
Yeah, and that's what you want from your county players. But it was just the ease that he did it. No, there was no panic. No, I know I think there was the clock went up. They announced that there was 5 extra minutes. They were down 2 points. It's like Tom just kind of said, right, look, I'll kick my point here, the first point. Great score. And there were two hard kicks. They weren't too easy, kick points. But it was just the whole ease that he did it. You know, and then the equaliser. And next thing, all of a sudden, you know, the whole chaos broke out then.
And it was you know, the euphoria that there was people in there, you know, I'd say their late 60s maybe up there that went to games for years up in the stand, the young people there and maybe the not so young people there. But what it means that there's probably people that experience, you'd hope that Dingle go on and do a back to back, but it doesn't always happen that way. But to be there on the day they did it, it's a memory that you carry to the grave, John.
Well, there's no doubt. And you bring that back to every club in the country. On their greatest day of all, you need to be there, and people are there to support them. This was a huge one. And, you know, I think it caught the imagination, as I said earlier on, their run through the championship, their run through Kerry, the injury situation, the players that were missing, you know, and you'd have to give credit to the management team. I haven't heard one word from the management team saying, we're missing another today, this guy's doubtful.
All year.
They got on with their job. When we saw them at several games during the year, Liam and myself up on the terrace looking down, they all had a job to do. They all went about and did their job. And you look at the calibre of people involved. But you can do what you like on the line, but you're 2 points down in All-Ireland final. The opposition are looking that bit better. Who do you want on the ball? You want one of the gainers, a Tom Sullivan. They got Tom on it. 78 minutes, he brought it to 1 point. 80 minutes on the clock, he slotted over the equaliser.
Yeah.
You could sense it. 'Tis Dingle's day now, you know. And that's the way it was. You couldn't get a better man to be on it.
And Liam, Tom was involved in the link play then with Mikey Gainey.
Yeah, but it was Mikey's turnover. And we saw it today actually in social media. Turned the ball over. I think Tom Lee or Chris Flannery that got on it and they worked it up the field in. But Mikey to kick it with his left leg. It was fantastic to watch. It was a fairy tale ending to the whole thing for Mikey to kick that.
Yeah,
because Mikey has been, and John Weeds had Mikey at underage level at Kerry as well. And Mikey is just a gent and he just goes away. And like we said, he's gone through a lot now in the last number of years, up and down to Dublin. And we always hear the story of the guy that moves away, joins a club in Dublin. Mikey didn't. Mikey stayed and stayed coming down to
which was a worthwhile stay. We take the next break of the evening.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Proudly sponsored by Netherlands Hotel, supporting Kerry Sport and community as Kerry's first B Corp hotel.
You're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. Before I go back to the lads here in studio, John Kennedy and Liam Brosnan, I might go back to Niamh Daly. Niamh, unfortunately, I suppose time-wise, we were caught with the interview with Mark and that.
Brilliant, though?
It was brilliant to hear Mark and as he heads back to Australia on Wednesday. I take it more messages have come through to us.
Yeah, this one's for you, Tim. Are you ready?
I don't know.
And I didn't write it myself.
Don't tell me it's not
brilliant.
A negative
beautiful.
One.
Beautiful. Here we go. Massive thanks to Ambrose and yourself for a spellbinding commentary on an epic game. I've always had a soft spot for Dingle, been a huge fan for the late Micheál Ó'Murchertaig, and I'm absolutely delighted with them. What resilience and dedication they displayed. With the last three matches, we're going against them. A Kerry Championship was wonderful, but we're in dreamland now. The best All-Ireland final ever. That comes in from Benjamin, and he is over in the UK listening in. So hello to Benjamin.
Thank you, Benjamin.
Now, and I have another one here, and this is kind of will get your brains racking a bit. Has two neighbouring clubs won senior and intermediate finals in 1 year ever before?
Liam, you're good at this. You do not need to do your research.
Tim, we'll have to start googling that now.
I have another one as well. Killarney listener, how many sets of brothers on the Dingle team? Must be another
I
record.
Think there's 5 sets and I saw it somewhere today.
Yeah, well, when we talk about the panel as well, you have Thomas Sullivan, his brother Jack is on the substitute bench or a part of the panel. The O'Connors are brothers. The full forward line, two of the boys in the full forward, Conor Gainey, Niall Gainey and Dylan are brothers, of course, first cousin of Paul, and the Ryan brothers as well. Will I be right in saying that?
Yeah.
Are we missing a set of brothers? Yeah, I'll have to look at that. But yeah. I know the three Gaineys anyway, Niall Gainey, Dylan and Connor are brothers. And
Barry, Dan and Dara.
Yeah, exactly. I think we've that covered, haven't
go
we?
On,
yeah.
The lads, here
yeah,
we
Yeah, we're doing not bad.
Unreal,
you know.
Ding, ding, ding.
I must join your quiz one day, but you'll be all one-sided.
You can all join my Christmas quiz if you want. Timmy, the high tackle on the left side of Mark O'Connor's head was definitely a free late in the game and Dingle would have won before extra time. What do you think of that? And that comes in from Ken.
John, you are very good at spotting things. You never mentioned that all evening.
Yeah, that was it was a high tackle, Tim, yeah.
Clothesline.
Clothesline tackle, yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
Another one was, why wasn't there a hooter in Croke Park last weekend or this weekend?
They did, yeah, that's
interesting. I couldn't figure that out, yeah.
I know the NFL were playing up there. Did they take the hooter?
Did they rob the hooter?
And you know, I'm sure the structure changed up there. But that is very interesting. But I don't think anybody was at the wrong end of the amount of time played in extra time or the injury time played, both in at the end of normal time and the end of extra time. Anything else there for us, Niamh?
Yeah, St. Bridget's were lucky to beat Pierce's in the Rossies final. Dingham were lucky to get over St. Finbar's in the Munster Club. And then it goes on to say, it's fine margins at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I think that's the point tonight we're saying. But I always say about luck, you have to make your own luck. It's like the guy that doesn't play a lotto. He's never going to win it. You see?
No, if you don't play it, you can't win it.
And so all I'm saying is, if you don't put in the hard yards, you won't win a game. So you put yourself in that position. Did you ever say that to your minor panellers and your under 21 panellers when you met them?
Yeah, well,
you had opportunities calling me in for a few.
You have to get their team to win it. It's as simple as that. But I suppose you look at the bigger picture. You look at the teams that Dingle have beaten, where they're coming from, the size of the parish, the size of the town, the Bars, Ballyborden, just to name two. What a magnificent achievement! And it just goes to show, you know, it's about the quality you have within, the belief. And it's about taking the chances, and Dingle did take that chance.
I suppose the hurt as well, Tim, builds up over the years. It's like Ballymac last weekend, you know, losing so many finals, and you build up a kind of resilience and you build up a kind of a drive, and I think that's what drove Dingle as well. Like Mikey said it in yesterday, he said, look, I suppose all the losses was to build us up for today. And you know, so he's like he said, he'd take all the losses again for a day like yesterday.
Liam, you played basketball in the past, and I take it that like you missed 100% of the chances you didn't take.
Oh yeah, because if you don't shoot, you can't score.
Well, there's one thing, sure, John Kennedy, Ambrose taught me that you would shoot. If Kennedy, am I allowed to say that at times, within that panel used to call you shoot?
I just kicked from the zone, Tim. I never forced it.
The zone. John, there was no zone in your time. There wasn't even chalk. There wasn't even, you had the 14 yards and you had the 65 and maybe the 45. There was no zones. The word wasn't, I can imagine the great late Mick O'Dwyer saying, go into that zone. There wasn't a zone. Going forward, what will it do for Kerry lads?
It's a huge boost, Tim. You know, it puts us. We're up at the top table in club football, in all divisions, in all junior, intermediate, and senior. It's fantastic. It just goes to show the talent we have at our disposal. We said it here previously. Jack O'Connor has played a lot of guys that are on this panel that weren't part of it last year. There's more guys to come in. It has to be good.
I spoke to Kevin Finn, a great honest Gall man, earlier this afternoon. He'll give out to me if I don't mention it, but he had a very valid point. There was a possibility yesterday that we go to penalties.
Very possibly, yeah.
No, that has to
go.
Yeah. That has to be discarded straight away.
Oh, yeah.
With all the effort, the St. Bridget's and likewise Dingle and all the other teams that participated in the All-Ireland series, could you imagine finishing that game?
That would have been a sickener. Sure, might as well just toss a coin. Yeah. That's why you're making a mockery of the competition and a mockery of the teams and the effort that was
just
was,
a, tick, was a tick in the box exercise.
That's all it was.
And you could play the club final another week because the players are not going back to their county set up anyway.
To be better off playing it on a Monday night instead of taking penalties. That would have been a disaster.
Tim, I think we should mention St. Bridget's before we finish. You know, the way they took their defeat, you know, in what was so difficult to take. The management team, Anthony Cunningham, who I know.
Great man.
A great man, both hurling and football. Evan Talty, a former Kilmurry Brechin player involved in the coaching with him. Great people. They stood in what was very difficult. We've all been in that position. It's easy to be smiling when you win, but think of St. Bridget's and the Listowel connection with the Stacks. You know, two of the leading lights, their father John, a man from Listowel.
But they gave it everything, Sam.
They gave it everything. And they will be back. I reckon they will be back. They have youth and they have talent.
And Tim, there's management teams now all over the county after being put into place, and clubs are back training in Kerry to get to where Dingle, Ballymac and Gaeltacht. So it starts all over again.
And club competitions will stay alive, lads.
Yeah.
And as somebody said today, Tim, they're criticising Kerry and the standard and the way and our structures. Dingle are a Division 2 county league team.
Playing against the best.
They're all Ireland champions tonight.
Yeah.
And I think you're speaking about a certain man that was, given that Sox during the year, saying we have an unfair advantage. Well, we are Kerry, we're All-Ireland champions at a junior premier level, likewise intermediate, and now Dingle winning the senior. Lads, I want to thank you for your contribution tonight and everyone else that took part in this. I want to thank Niamh Daly. She's been very busy with the last couple of days. She was in Croke Park yesterday. She was shouting for Dingle. Well, tonight she was shouting for Terrace Talk. Up next is the great lady herself, Mary Conroy, with Thog Sus. Until next time, this is Tim Einan saying goodbye.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Proudly sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, supporting Kerry Sport and community as Kerry's first B Corp hotel.